Jesus, you brought heaven down. You know, we don't just sing about the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is power. And it's not just that we're singing about what he did a long time ago or what he's going to do in the future. He is at work amongst us even now. Amen. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue confess. Everything is subject to the name of Jesus. And right now we're going to have our time of praise and prayer. And I just want to give you some testimonies. We pray and we believe God, and lives change and circumstances change and people's bodies get healed. I'm going to give you just a couple of great testimonies this morning. And if you have a prayer or praise request, this is what you fill it out on. We want to hear from you. We want to join our faith with you. But the first praise report was from Louis. And Louis was, he was declared illegally blind. Legally blind. He wrote illegally. That's why I was getting confused. Legally blind. And he was not able to drive. And he's been believing God over his sight being restored. And he went to the doctors this week. And they gave him back his license. His sight has improved so much in one eye. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. And we believe in God with him for complete restoration in both eyes. Amen. And then someone else wants to give thanks for all we've prayed over her son. A number of times she said that he got the most beautiful apartment. He's stopped drinking. He's going to church. And she just wants to thank the church family for standing with her and believing God over her son. Isn't that awesome? We've had some answered prayer. We had some answered prayer. Let me just see one more. Okay, we're gonna believe God today. You know, if you're here today and you have a need, we don't just come here out of duty. We come here to meet with God. We come here to receive what it is we need from God. There's no embarrassment or shame in coming forward and having prayer. Have somebody agree with you. That's what we want to do. We're a family. We want to join our faith with you. We don't want you to carry a burden on your own. We want to believe God with you. Amen. And with a couple of prayer requests, one of our members said, pray with me. I need to pass my state board exams to be a behavior therapist, and just believing God for a $10 an hour increase. Are we going to believe with her? We're going to stand with her. I saw John come in with a stick this morning. We're going to pray and believe God over his back. And then, you know, actually this morning when I woke up, I felt like the Lord said to me, there's somebody that came into service this morning that you have an infected toenail. And that's a weird one, but it happens, right? And God can heal even a toenail, isn't that right? So if that's you, I want you to come forward. Somebody else with a torn ligament in your knee. Is that you? Well, you see, you know what? When the Holy Spirit reveals that, it's because he's wanting to show you that he pays attention to the smallest of things. You may think that's not a heart attack, right? But it matters to you, and so it matters to God. And whenever he pinpoints something like that, it's because he wants to demonstrate his healing power. So we believe in God right now. Let's just do it right now. Stretch your hands out to Angie. I just release the healing power of God to flow into this foot right now in the name of Jesus and heal this toe. Thank you, Father. Complete healing to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody else with a torn ligament in their knee. You got a torn ligament in your knee. Just come on up here if that's you. Come on up. And let's have Tasha. Is that you, Tasha? Just come on forward. And I want to say this. Our prayer team, come and line up. We have faith-filled prayer team that are going to pray and believe God with you today. So whatever there is in your life that you need prayer for, just step out. If it's a family issue, pray for him, Pastor Steve. What do you need prayer for? For your toe and your knee. It's you too. Okay, Anna will pray for you. Go. Anybody else? Come on forward. Thank you.
My heart adrift and drifted home again. Plundered blessing, desperate to find redemption. Every time I turn around, Lord, you're still there. Now I was found before I was lost, and I was yours. Before I was known, there's grace to spare for all my mistakes, and that part just wrecks me.
And I know I don't deserve this kind of love, so. Is who you are. It's a grace I can never have to be somebody you still want. But somehow you love me as you find me. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good.
Who am I? Think your glory needs my praises. If this borrowed breath is yours, Lord, then take it all. You are faithful and you are gracious, and I'm just grateful to think you don't need a single thing, and still you want my heart. And I was found before I. I was yours before I was mine. There's greater than scars for all my mistakes, and that part just wrecks me.
And I know I don't deserve this kind. It's who you are. It's a grace I can never add to be somebody you still want. Somehow you love me as you find me.
You love me as you find me. Yes, you do. You love me. You love me as you find me. Yeah, you love. second guess, 'cause I need your love more than anything. I'm in, I'm yours, your love's too good to leave me here. Hey! One more time.
Your love's too good to leave me.
Just look at those. If you want my heart, I won't second guess. 'Cause I need your love more than anything. And I'm in, I'm yours. Your love's too good to leave me. Your love's too good, Jesus. Your love's too good to leave me. Just stay right here. We glorify you, God. Yes, we glorify you.
You haven't talked to in a while. Greet them. Tell them how good they look. Welcome to church. It's always so good to see you here. Glad you've come to worship with us. You know, I just want to remind you there's four things we want to do as a church. When you come to Ascend Church, this is what we want to do. First of all, we want to help you to know God. Second of all, we want to help you to find freedom. Thirdly, we want you to discover your purpose. And fourth, we want you to make a difference with your life. Amen. How many feel those are good reasons to be in church? Amen. I believe it. And so we're glad that you're here. I'm so glad to get up here to look around and see what you're wearing today, check you out. Praise God. So glad that you're in church today. We especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time. We love to have visitors in our church, don't we? Pastor Steve and I invited a couple of people this week, and I'm excited for them to come. Just random meetings with different people, and just, you know, sometimes people don't come the first time you invite them, but you never know that this may be exactly what they're looking for. So we're glad if you're here for the first time. I don't know how you came, if someone invited you, or you just happened to come out of the gym and drive by and decide to come into church. Either way, we're glad that you're here. We don't believe it's ever by accident. And we just like to honor you and give you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you just wave your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone here for the first time today? God bless you. Welcome. Anyone else for the first time? Just lift your hand. Just an usher. These ushers are so sharp. They're so on the ball. In that gift bag is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We hope will be a blessing to you, an encouraging message. And then there's a white card. There's a guest card. We ask you to just fill it in for us, if you don't mind. And when the offering basket comes past at the end, just drop it in. And we'd love to just find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for joining us today. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Welcome to those that are watching on live stream and on Facebook Live. We're so glad that you're joining us. I love that you're able to share it. I can't wait till you're able to use the mobile app in April that's coming. We'll be able to watch and share everything that happens. It's going to be tremendous. We'll share more about that. But we're ready to move on with our service. So thank you, Pastor Steve.
Now we could. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Glad to be in church?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm going to ask you one more time. Would you stand up with me one more time? We're going to pray. I appreciate that. I would love it if we could fill up these. We've got an empty row, the second row. I don't know what happened with the second row. Judy, don't take it personally. But the second row, I would ask you to fill the seats from the front back. If you don't, I'm just going to ask you to move. So just it would help if you just sat at the front at the beginning. Because when new people arrive, it's good to have seats for them at the back and not them have to walk and sit at the front. So we like to fill from the front back. Is that good?
Yes.
Praise God. Father, we thank you today for another day, another Sunday, to come into your house, to gather together with the family of God, our brothers and sisters, to encourage one another and to worship you and to hear your word. And Father, we look to you today. We look to you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I make it known that I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting in my own human talent or ability. I'm trusting you. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for rising up within me. I thank you for anointing your word to every person's heart and mind and bringing understanding and bringing revelation and causing our faith to grow and rise up big. Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and everything that will be done. I pray that you will touch every person today, Lord, that they will never be the same. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
One more time, turn and welcome someone. Tell them, I'm glad you're here today. You're looking good. Can you hold that for me, please? I'll get it from you in a second. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Well, let me just, before I begin that, I'm going to do the growth track announcement now, Miguel. I'm going to do it now. So I want to let you know that on Wednesday night, we just started our growth track. It's a brand new Bible study really it's four steps. It's four sessions. Step one is called follow. Step two is called connect. Step three is called discover. And step four is called serve. And it's 4 weeks. This week is going to be our last Wednesday, and we'll be finishing this class. But the reason I'm telling you is we are starting Growth Track on Sundays on April 7th. On April 7th, after the service at 12 p.m., I guess. Would that be 12 p.m.? Yes, 12 p.m. 12 until 1, we're going to be running Growth Track starting April 7th, and it'll run every week. So the first week of the month is step 1. The second week of the month is step 2. Third week, step 3. Fourth week, step 4. If there happens to be 5 weeks in a month, then nothing happens on week 5. But it continues the next month, first week, step 1. So we're going to run Growth Track throughout the year. So someone could come to the church to this week and next Sunday jump onto Growth Track at any time. They don't have to wait for the beginning. They can get on at any time. And really what Growth Track is all about is about helping you discover your purpose. It's about helping you to grow. And it's about bringing you from being a spectator to being a participator. And so I want to encourage you, if you weren't able to join us on Wednesday, We had 50 people that are on the present growth track. But if you weren't able to join us and you want to get onto the Sunday, April 7th, I want to encourage you to sign up and register now because we only have a limited space for the growth track. And so if you'd like to join growth track, here's the green card. Looks like that should be in the seat pocket in front of you. Also, the ushers, James and the other ushers have it. If you raise your hand, if you want to join growth track, raise your hand now. Fill out a card, and we'll get you plugged in. Nadine, have you got your hand up? There you go. There you go. Wakey, wakey, everybody. If you weren't at Growth Track on Wednesday, you should be there on Sunday starting April the 7th. It's only 1 hour long. This is not the Christian Growth Seminar. It's completely different. Have you enjoyed Growth Track? Tom and Anna have been through Christian Growth with us, been through Bible College. I think 2 or 3 years of Bible College. You did 3 years, you did 2 years. Growth Track, if you haven't done it, you really need to come and join us on April the 7th. You need to have your hand raised if you weren't here on Wednesday and say, Pastor Steve, I'm going to be on Growth Track. I want to discover God's purpose for my life. Amen? Yes. So thank you, Pastor Jill. All right, are you ready for God's word this morning? Yes. Did anyone bring their Bible to church? Yes. If you brought your Bible, why don't you wave it at me? Just wave it around like that, make the devil mad. Right? Or using your phone, hold your phone up. If you haven't got your phone, you haven't got your iPhone, you haven't got your iPad, then use your eyelids and look on the screen. We'll have the scriptures. But I want to speak this morning about no more excuses. Tell your neighbor, no excuses. No excuses. I was reading this week in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 14. And I want to read this passage that I read this week that while I was reading, the Lord inspired me to share this message with you. In Luke 14, in verse number 16, Jesus replied with a parable. There was a man who invited many to join him in a great feast. And when the day of the feast arrived, the host instructed his servants to notify all the invited guests and tell them, "Come, for everything is now ready for you." But one by one, they all made excuses. They made excuses. They made excuses. One said, "I can't come. I just bought some property, and I'm obligated to go and look it over." Another one said, "Please accept my regrets. I just purchased 5 teams of oxen, and I need to make sure they can pull the plow. I've got to go and inspect them." And another one said, "I can't come. I just got married. I can't come. Sorry, I got married." So the servant reported back to the host and told him all their excuses. Say excuses. So the master became angry. And he said to his servant, "Go at once throughout the city and invite anyone you find. The poor, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, the lonely. Invite them to my banquet." And when the servant returned to his master, he said, "Sir, I've done what you've asked, but there's still room for more." So the master told him, "All right, go out again. And this time bring them all back with you. Persuade the beggars on the streets, the outcasts, even the homeless. Urgently insist that they come in and enjoy the feast so that my house will be full. I say to you all, the one who receives an invitation to feast with me and makes excuses will never enjoy my banquet." Now, Jesus is telling a parable. And notice, these excuses seemed reasonable. Seemed reasonable to me. I bought a property. I bought some oxen. I've got to go take care of it. I got married. But let me tell you, God doesn't like it when we make excuses why we can't do what he wants us to do. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, this is a parable. But do you know, Jesus told a parable about a man who invited, you know, guests to his banquet. But do you know Jesus has invited us to his banquet? I said, do you know that God is throwing a banquet? And do you know you're invited? The Apostle John described this banquet in the book of Revelation. In verse 7, he said, "The time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. For his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people." And the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. These are the true words that come from God." He said, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Do you know you've been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb? Tell your neighbor, you've been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Do you know that the invitation is out? The Bible says, whoever will, whosoever believes. Amen. Now, the wedding feast with the Lamb, with Jesus, takes place after the day of judgment. Last Sunday, I spoke about the two-question test. And we saw last week that we are all going to stand before God one day. We're going to stand before the great white throne judgment seat of God. And then followers of Jesus are also going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is where we're going to be rewarded for the things that we did while we were on the earth. Now, we are all going to stand before God. We are all going to give an account of our lives. And listen what the Apostle John said in 1 John 2, verse 28. Now, the Apostle John is the same man who had the revelation at the wedding feast and wrote it down, we just read. Now, he also said this. He said, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. The Bible says, be ready. The Bible says, stay with Christ. It says, live deeply in Christ so that when he appears, we will be ready. We won't have red-faced embarrassment. We won't be making lame excuses. Listen, I don't want you to be embarrassed on that day that you stand before the Lord. I want you to hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. How many of you want to hear Jesus say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. That's what I want. I want you to hear that. But family, let me tell you, we've got to stop making excuses of why we can't do what God says that we should do. Because excuses will hold you back from God's best in your life. Do you know the Israelites, they didn't enter into the promised land because of their excuses. God delivered them from Egypt. I mean, God did 10 amazing miracles, parted the Red Sea. He told them, go take the promised land. I am with you. What did they say? They said, we can do it. Oh, no, we can do it. The people there are stronger than we are. The cities are large. The cities are very fortified. They said, man, we even saw giants down there. They'll crush us. There's no way that we can take the promised land. How many of you know that's true? Do you know their excuses kept them out of the promised land? Do you know 40 years later, their children did what they didn't do? Their children went in and took the promised land 40 years later. Do you know when God appeared to Moses from a burning bush and told him, I want you to lead my people, deliver my people from Egypt? Do you know Moses was full of excuses why he couldn't do what God said? Have you ever read that account? When Moses said to God, he said, Lord, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should lead your people? He said, what am I going to say when they ask me what your name is? God said, tell them, I am that I am. He said, Lord, what if you don't believe me? God said, Moses, what's that you got in your hand? He said, that's a staff, a rod. He said, throw it down. When he threw it down, it became a snake. He said, pick it up again. When he picked it up again, God said to Moses, I'll be with you. Moses said, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I don't speak very well. And he said, Lord, please send somebody else. Now listen, evidently Moses got rid of his excuses and he went on to become an amazing leader. Isn't that right? Do you know when God spoke to Gideon, and he said, Gideon, you're going to save Israel from the Midianites. I'm going to use you to save Israel. Do you know what Gideon said to God? Gideon said to God, go with me please to Judges chapter 6. Gideon said, Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. He said, my family is the least of all the families in the whole tribe. And I'm the weakest in my family. In other words, you came to the weakest man in all of Israel. How can I do this? Thank God that Gideon got rid of his excuses. And he went on and he defeated the Midianites with only 120 men. Listen, do you know that many people are missing God's best for their life because of excuses? Many people make excuses why they can't follow Jesus, why they're not following Jesus, why they can't pray, why they can't read their Bible. People make excuses why they can't come to church. I hear it every week. Every week I hear excuses why I can't come to church, why I can't come to Connect Group, why I can't invite someone to church. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24, in verse number 12, it says, rescue the perishing. Tell your neighbor, rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business, will that get you off the hook? Someone is watching you closely. You know, someone who is not impressed with weak excuses. Do you know God is watching us? Don't get too quiet now, family. I'm preaching good. You may not be amening very good, but I'm preaching good today. It says, rescue the perishing. Who's that? Who's the perishing? Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know that we all were perishing. That's us. We are the perishing. Unless you repent, you will perish. That's what the Bible says. Unless you turn to Jesus, you will perish. That means everybody's perishing. If they don't know Jesus, everybody is perishing. Isn't that right? God wants us to rescue the perishing. Rescue the lost. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Let me read Proverbs 24:12 from the Passion Translation. It says, why would you say, but it's none of my business? The one who knows you completely and judges you, your every motive, is also the keeper of souls. And not just yours. He sees through your excuses and he holds you responsible for failing to help those whose lives are threatened. Do you know that we are responsible to reach lost people around us? I said, do you know you are responsible to reach lost people around you? Don't make excuses. Reach out. I hear all kinds of excuses from people, family. Oh, why they can't serve God, why they can't serve in church, why they can't be on a team, why they can't get to church early, why they can't forgive, why they can't obey God, why they can't tithe. I hear excuses all the time. Do you know the scripture says in Proverbs 6, verse 11, by making excuses, you'll learn what it means to go without. Poverty will pounce on you like a bandit and move in as your roommate for life. Excuses will cause you to miss out on the blessings of God. When we make excuses about why we can't obey God, we're actually inviting poverty into our life. Can you say amen, somebody? Isaiah 1 verse 19 says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey me, I will make you rich. God said, if you will just obey me, if you will just stop making excuses and just do what I say. Verse 20 says, but if you keep turning your backs and refusing to listen to me, you will be killed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Listen, it is easy to come up with reasons why we can't accomplish a dream, why we can't be happy, why we can't overcome a problem. Family, excuses are a dime a dozen. We think, well, Pastor Steve, I've got a good reason. I've got a good excuse to be negative, to be upset. Traffic was bad. My boss was rude. My coworker left me out. This one did this to me. I've got an excuse to be offended, Pastor Steve. Those people hurt me. They didn't keep their word. They betrayed me. They let me down. I've got an excuse to settle where I am. I had a bad childhood, man. I lost a loved one. I went through a breakup. Listen, as long as you're making excuses, you will justify staying right where you are, because excuses give us permission to settle for less than God's best. And let me tell you can find an excuse about anything. It's easy to find an excuse. I can't lose this weight. My metabolism is so slow. I've got such a slow metabolism. I can't lose this weight. I can't break this addiction. Everybody in my family's got this addiction. It's in my genes. It's been passed down to me. Listen, it may be in your genes, but the good news is you can turn off those genes, family. You got the power to overcome that. Amen. But the only way it's going to happen is if you get rid of the excuses. As long as you're blaming the past or blaming somebody else or blaming the traffic or blaming the weather, let me tell you, you're going to get stuck. I'm asking you to throw out the excuses. It may be a valid excuse. I mean, it wasn't fair. You went through a disappointment or a sickness or a betrayal, but you got to draw a line in the sand. You got to be bold. You got to declare, I refuse to live my life with a chip on my shoulder, angry and upset, with no passion. Because if you will get rid of the excuses, let me tell you, God will be your vindicator. God will pay you back for that unfair, that thing that happened. Are you with me? Listen, this is your year to step up to a new level. This is your year to see God's favor in a new way. You got to have this attitude, no more excuses. Say it, no excuses. There's no excuses to be unhappy. This day is a gift from God. I'm going to enjoy it no matter what's going on in my life. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. Come on, I will be glad in it. No excuses to settle for mediocrity. Give up on my dreams. I'm pursuing my goals. I'm overcoming obstacles. I'm breaking these bad habits in the name of Jesus. No excuses for me to go around feeling inferior. I know who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm one of a kind. I'm a masterpiece. I've been crowned with favor. I got no excuse to feel inferior. Well, Steve, I don't think I can accomplish my goals. I'm not that talented, you know. I don't really have the connections. I didn't get what my friends got. They got the looks. They got the personality. They got all the good breaks. Let me tell you the key. If you didn't get it, then you didn't need it, because you got exactly what you needed. If you needed what they had, God would have given it to you. So you got to stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Let me tell you, one of the greatest joy killers in your life is to compare yourself to somebody else. You've got to run the race God has for you. You're anointed to be you. Nobody, let me tell you, nobody can beat you at being you. You are fully loaded. You are totally equipped. You are uniquely designed for the race that God has laid out for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now get rid of all the excuses. Oh, Pastor Steve, I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too old. I'm too young. Wrong nationality. Listen, the Bible says you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You've got to step up to who God created you to be. Let me tell you, anytime God is about to take you to a new level in your life, there will be excuses you've got to get rid of first. Before you see promotion, you've got to get rid of that excuse. Well, I'm not qualified. I'm not that talented. Well, I don't think I can do that. Listen, man, before you break that addiction, you got to get rid of that excuse. Well, I've had it so long, Pastor Steve. I just am not disciplined enough. Listen, before you meet the person of your dreams, you got to get rid of that excuse. I'm not that attractive. I don't really have a good personality. Listen, God wants to do something new in your life, family. He wants to take you to a new level of your destiny. Are you allowing excuses to hold you back? Sometimes you need someone to speak the truth in love to you. Maybe you're coasting along in your life. You're thinking you reached your limits. You're thinking, you know, a lot of us don't realize the gifts and talents that we have on the inside of us. We haven't tapped. Do you know you've got gifts and talents inside you haven't tapped into yet? I'm telling you, no ands, ifs, or buts. It's time to lose the excuse bag. It's time to step up to a new level in your life. Start learning something new. Start training that next program. Start taking on more responsibility. Start writing that book God put in your heart. Start writing those songs God's put in your heart. Start developing that business plan that God has been laying on your heart. You've got potential lying dormant on the inside of you right now. And let me tell you, the enemy would love to use excuses to stop, to keep it from ever coming out of you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 6, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. You got to stir up what God put on the inside of you. Say, I've got to stir up the gift of God. Say, I've got gifts within me. In the name of Jesus, I stir up those gifts. You see, you got to quit telling yourself what you can't do and how you don't have the discipline. And you don't have the training. And you don't have the education. I want to tell you, you've got everything you need. You are well able. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You ever heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? You ever heard that saying? But you know what I learned? Depends on what kind of dog you have. If your dog thinks I'm limited, I'm lacking, I can't learn anything new, then your dog's going to get stuck. But if you've got a dog that says, I'm well able, I'm equipped, I'm empowered, nothing is too hard for me, that dog will learn new tricks. You got to make sure you're the right kind of dog, man. Are you stuck doing something the old-fashioned way? Because you don't think you have the talent, you don't think you have the ability to step into the new? You got to quit discounting yourself. You have what you need to live in this generation. You've been born for such a time as this. Quit shrinking back. Don't let those excuses convince you that you're lacking, or that you're too young, or you're too old, or you're not up to par. No, God put in you what you need for this day. This is your time to shine. Get rid of those limiting excuses and stay open for new ideas, for new ways to do things. Are you listening to me? It's one thing I like about my mother. Where's my mother at? There she is. Now, you're not my mother. Oh, okay. My mother is, she doesn't like me to tell her age. But anyway, she's mature. A little older than me. But I find what I love about my mom is that, you know, she stays up to date. She's on Instagram. She's on Facebook. She knows how to group text. You know, I love that she's not intimidated to learn something new. See, when we keep making excuses, they become a crutch. That way we can justify why we are not where we're supposed to be. Well, Pastor Steve, they hurt me. They did me wrong. Now I've got this, I've got to use this self-pity crutch to hobble along. I've got a reason to be this way, Pastor Steve. Or my friend is more talented. They got the looks. They got the personality. So I have to use this inferior crutch. I've got an inferior crutch. Or I've made some mistakes in my life. I didn't raise my kids right, and I blew my relationship, and that's why I'm now using this regret crutch. Let me tell you, every time you make an excuse, it's slowing you down. It's causing you to hobble. And here's the tragedy. The tragedy is some people spend their whole life on crutches. Don't let that be you. If you get rid of the excuses, let me tell you, if you believe that you have what it takes, if you'll trust God to make your wrongs right, then instead of hobbling and barely getting by, you'll keep stepping into new levels of your destiny. Amen. Amen. That's what a young lady named Vilma did. Vilma was born in 1940. She was born prematurely. She was one of 22 children. She was the 20th of 22 children. And when she was a toddler, she had scarlet fever, and she almost died. And when she was 4 years old, she developed polio in her left leg. It shriveled, her leg shriveled so badly that the doctors told her parents that she would probably never walk again. And the family members would spend hours massaging her leg. When the other kids were out playing and having fun, they'd be massaging her leg. She'd be at home, not able to walk. Vilma spent 2 years totally bedridden. She could have thought, hey, this is my life. I had a bad break. I've got a reason to settle where I am. But Vilma had this no excuses type of mentality. A caring doctor made her a special leg brace for her leg with a special shoe. And against all the odds, she learned how to walk again. When she was 11 years old, without her parents knowing it, she started taking off the brace and going out and playing with the other kids. She developed a passion for running. Some days she'd go out and she'd run for hours at a time. And one day, a coach from the Tennessee State University noticed how much she loved to run and noticed how fast she was. He invited Vilma to try out for the team. Not only did she make the team, when she was 16 years old, she qualified for the 1956 Olympic Games. She went on and she won a bronze medal. 4 years later, at the 1960 Olympics, Vilma Rudolph won 3 gold medals and became a national hero in America. Let me tell you, that is what happens when you don't let self-pity become a crutch. You don't sit around thinking about what you didn't get and how you don't measure up. Let me tell you, you'll beat the odds. God will get you to where you are supposed to be, family. We've all had bad breaks. We all have had things we don't understand. But if that was going to keep you from your destiny, God would have never permitted it. Are you listening to me today? Don't let it become a crutch. Don't use it as an excuse to settle where you are. Do like Vilna. Stir up what God has put on the inside of you, and you'll go places you never dreamed of. Amen? In Scripture, there was a man who'd been born blind. So he was blind since birth. And some people asked Jesus, why was this man born this way? Whose fault was it? Was it his fault or was it his parents' fault? Did his parents sin? They wanted someone to blame. They wanted an excuse. They wanted a reason. You know what Jesus said to them in John chapter 9 in verse 3? Jesus said it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. I love the way the Message Bible says it. Listen to the Message translation. It says, Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Jesus spat on the ground. He made mud of the clay. He put it on the man's eyes. And he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man did it. And when he did it, he came back. He could see again. He was healed. His eyesight was restored. Let me tell you, when you have a bad break or disadvantage, don't get stuck looking for someone or something to blame. You're not always going to understand why things happen. But if you stay in faith, it won't work against you. It'll work for you. God will use that to show out in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. But you see, like these people, it's easy to want to blame the parents or blame, you know, it was their fault or that's why he's blind or blame the man or blame the neighbor or blame a friend. People are looking for something to blame. All that's going to do is give you a reason to feel sorry for yourself. Before long, you'll be walking with that crutch. Nothing that has happened to you is a surprise to God. If you'll take the hand you've been dealt and make the most of it, let me tell you, it might not have been fair, but God is fair. God is a God of justice. And he sees every wrong that's been done to you. He sees every hurt. He sees every disadvantage. And if you won't let it become an excuse to get bitter and have a chip on your shoulder, let me tell you, God will take that wrong and he'll turn it around and he'll use it to your advantage. He'll pay you back for the unfair things that have happened in your life. He'll take what the enemy meant for your destruction and use it for your good. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, give God praise today. Yes. Let me tell you, I'm so glad people cannot stop your destiny. What they said about you, what they did to you, how they try to make you feel, let me tell you, that doesn't have to affect you. The only power that it has over you is the power that you give it. If you sit around nursing your wounds, thinking about the wrong, it's going to become a crutch. It's going to hold you back. But if you let it go, God will fight your battles. God will be your vindicator. Amen. We see this in the life of Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite Bible characters. And he went through one unfair situation after another. I mean, his brothers betrayed him. They sold him into slavery. He could have become bitter. He could have thought, I've got a good excuse to live my life angry. I mean, he had a good excuse to be angry. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
He was lied about, falsely accused, thrown into prison. Another excuse to have a chip on his shoulder. He spent years in that prison for something that he didn't do. He could have come up with excuse after excuse to settle where he was. But let me tell you, Joseph knew that those excuses would become crutches that would keep him from his destiny. Joseph had this no excuse mentality. He kept shaking off the disappointment. He kept overlooking the offenses. He kept doing the right thing, even when the wrong thing was happening. And let me tell you, in the end, Joseph came out vindicated. Joseph came out promoted. Joseph came out in a place of honor, in a place of prestige, in a place of influence. Let me tell you, you might have had some bad breaks. You might have had some things you don't understand, but don't get stuck looking back, reliving the negative in your life. No, that's just a distraction. If you'll do like Joseph and keep on moving forward, Keep on taking the high road. Keep on doing the right thing. Let me tell you, God will get you where you're supposed to be. Can you say amen, church? No bad break can stop you. No disadvantage, no injustice. Let me tell you, I'm so glad that God has the final say in my life. You may say, but Steve, they hurt me. Oh, they did me wrong. Let me say this respectfully. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody's been hurt. You got to get over it. Tell your neighbor, get over it. Well, Pastor Steve, they left me out. Everybody's been left out. Well, they lied about me. Welcome to the club. It's not worth missing your destiny over. I'm not saying what they did was okay, but here's what I am saying. I'm saying it doesn't have to control the rest of your life. It would be easy to live with a chip on your shoulder thinking about how wrong it is, and before long you'll have that crutch. It'll cause you to hobble when God created you to run. God created you to press forward. You're going to draw a line in the sand and say, that's it. No more excuses. I can't do anything about the past, but I can do something about right now. And I'm going to live my life in faith. And I'm going to trust God to make up to me, to be my vindicator, to make my wrongs right. Friends, this day is a gift from God. And once we have it, once we live it, we can never get it back. Life is too short to waste another day angry, offended, in self-pity. Let me tell you, like Joseph, you may have had a rough start, but you don't have to have a rough finish. God wants to pay you back for the trouble that has happened to you. He wants to give you beauty for the ashes, double for the injustice. Now, I realize it's not always easy to get over it. It's not necessarily always easy to move forward. But here's the key. The pain of letting go is less than the pain of holding on and missing your destiny. I said the pain of letting go is less than the pain of holding on and missing your destiny. It's going to be pain either way. Choose the right pain. In Scripture, it tells us to be imitators of Christ. His life is our example. And if we're going to be like Jesus, family, that means we're going to have some people coming against us. Well, I want to be like Jesus. Are you sure about that? You're going to have people come against you. Not everybody going to like you. You're going to have some people try and make you look bad. It means you're going to be criticized. It means you're going to be misunderstood. It means you're going to have a Garden of Gethsemane moment where sometimes you're going to feel alone. Sometimes you're going to feel abandoned. But let me tell you, family, you might even have a Judas, people that betray you. People that turn their back and walk away. I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt at least a dozen times. But it's interesting, when Judas came with the soldiers to betray Jesus, to arrest Jesus, do you know what Jesus said to him? In Matthew 26, verse 50, Jesus said to him, "My beloved friend, is this why you've come?" Then they seized Jesus to arrest him. Jesus knew that Judas was about to betray him. And what did he call him? My beloved friend. What was Jesus' attitude? Jesus' attitude was, I've already gotten over what you're about to do. Your poor choice is not going to steal my joy. It's not going to stop my destiny. My Father has the final say. It may get a little rough, but I know in the end I'm going to come out wearing that victor's crown. Amen? And let me tell you, if you will do like Jesus and not get bitter when unfair things happen, instead trust your Father to make it up to you. At some point, we too will be wearing that victor's crown. Like Joseph, you're going to come out vindicated. You're going to come out promoted. You're going to come out in a place of honor, in a place of influence. Amen? Amen. In John chapter 5, there's a story about a crippled man. He'd been lying at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And every once in a while, an angel would come by and stir the water. And the first person who got in the pool would be healed. In John chapter 5, verse 5, it says that a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. And the Passion Translation says he'd been disabled for 38 years, lying among the multitude of the sick. For 38 years, he's been lying there amongst the sick people, waiting for the stirring of the water. The Amplified Bible says it like this. The Amplified Version said he had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years, a deep-seated and lingering disorder. Now, what is a lingering disorder? It's not just physical. It's not just a physical disorder. But you see, when we stay focused on the negative things of the past, and we keep making excuses, and we don't move forward, those lingering disorders will keep us from our destiny. One day Jesus came by. He saw the man lying there. It was obvious that the man was crippled. Jesus knew the reason he was at the pool. He was trying to get well. The scripture says in verse 3, hundreds of sick people were lying there on the porch, the paralyzed, the blind, the crippled. All of them were waiting for their healing. For an angel of God would periodically descend into the pool to stir the waters. And the first one who stepped into the pool after the waters were stirred would be instantly healed. Jesus asked the man what may seem like a very strange question. He said to the man in verse 6, "Do you truly long to be healed? Do you really want to get healed?" And by the way the man responded, it shows us why he had been that way for so long. Listen to how he replied. The sick man answered, "Sir, there's no way I can get healed. For I have no one who will lower me into the water when the angel comes. As soon as I try and crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me. There's no way I can get healed." He made excuses. And he'd used those excuses so long, they'd become a crutch. I love the way Jesus answered back. Jesus didn't respond to the man's sad story. Jesus didn't say, "Well, I feel so sorry for you. You've had such a rough life." You know what Jesus said to him? He said, "Get up. Get up." Verse number 8, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Get up, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. He was saying, in effect, Jesus was saying, listen, if you're serious about getting well, if you're earnest about moving forward, then get up and be on your way. Jesus spoke faith over the man. For the first time when that man heard that, something came alive on the inside of him. That man thought to himself, "You mean I don't have to keep on making excuses? You mean I don't have to just sit here and wait for something to change? I can make something happen?" And the Bible says immediately, he stood up. He was healed. He rolled up his mat and he walked again. When he stood up, when he took that step forward, family, I wonder how many things we would get out of. Defeat, bad habits, depression. If we would just quit feeling sorry for ourselves and quit making excuses and start moving forward and doing what God says. I'm asking, listen, God is asking us today what Jesus asked that man. Are you earnest about getting well? Are you serious about getting well? Are you serious about overcoming the addiction? Are you serious about finishing school? Are you serious about prospering in your life? Let me tell you, family, are you serious about moving past that disappointment? There's something you got to do. You got to get up on the inside. You got to get up on the inside in your attitude, in your thoughts, in your countenance, in how you talk. In other words, you got to shake off the self-pity and stop reliving the negative things of the past. Let me tell you, you're waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. Because if you will get up and if you will take up your bed, so to speak, if you will start moving forward, that's when you'll see things begin to change in your favor. If you get rid of the excuses, family, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 42, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you, new things are about to spring forth. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. See, God is saying the things you've been struggling with, they're coming to an end. The discouragement, the loneliness, the bad breaks, the depression. God is about to put a stop to it, family. He's about to do a new thing. But there's one requirement. The last part of that verse is the whole key. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. And the contemporary English version says, tell the whole world to sing a new song to the Lord. Let me tell you, if you want to see the negative end and you want to see God do a new thing in your life, you got to sing a new song to the Lord. You can't keep on singing that same old sad song about who hurt you. I've been by the pool for 38 years. I'm never going to get well. There's nobody put me in. You can't sing. You know, some people, you ask them, how are you doing? It's like a country western song. My wife left me. My dog died. My truck broke down. It goes on and on. Get rid of that song of self-pity. Get rid of that song of defeat. Erase that song. It's never going to work out. And start singing a song of victory, family. Sing a new song. Come on. Give God praise today. Let me tell you, you got to be, I may have had some bad breaks, But I know this is my due season year. I know things are changing in my favor. I know that I'm armed with strength for the battle. In the name of Jesus, I will overcome this illness. I will break this bad habit. I will finish school. I will live healthy, whole, and victorious. I will make a difference with my life. I will not be embarrassed on Judgment Day. I will reach the lost around me for Jesus. Amen. If you want to see the new, you got to start singing the new song. In other words, no more sad songs. No more talking about who hurt you and what didn't work out. Listen, family, God knows everything you've been through. You don't have to constantly remind him. If you lose the sad song and start singing a new song, God will turn your mourning into dancing. God will take that setback and he'll use it as a setup to take you somewhere greater in your life. Amen. I wonder how many of us today, like this man, we have these lingering disorders. We went through a hurt. We went through a disappointment. Instead of letting it go, moving forward and trusting God in our life, we started making excuses. Now it's gone on year after year. But here's the good news. If you'll get rid of the excuses, it's just a matter of time before those lingering disorders will leave. Because that's when God will show up and God will begin to turn things around in your life. Amen, family. Is there something you need to get over today? Maybe a childhood that wasn't so great. Maybe a friend who betrayed you. Maybe a business that didn't make it. Now you're using it as a crutch to stay where you are. Why don't you make this decision with me today? No more excuses. I can't do anything about the past, but I can do something about the future. And because, let me tell you, because you have this new song in your heart, I believe and I declare in the name of Jesus, things that have held you back are coming to an end. I declare God is doing a new thing in your life. You're going to see beauty for those ashes. You're going to overcome that illness. You're going to see new relationships, new opportunities, a new level of your destiny in the name of Jesus. If you receive it, say amen. Amen. Let me tell you will break that addiction. You will overcome that problem. You will prosper. You will enter your promised land. You will fulfill God's purpose for your life. You will make a difference with your life. You will reach lost people around you. You will win people at Jesus. Can you say amen? You will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You will be rewarded on that day. If you will, I declare you will get rid of every excuse that's holding you back. In Jesus' name, come on, say it with me. No more excuses. I'm getting rid of every excuse. Say, I am forgetting the past. And I'm pressing forward. Say, I'm moving forward. This is a new day. God's doing a new thing. Amen. Do you receive this today? Come and give God thanks and praise if you receive this today. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, no more excuses. Amen. Bow your head for a moment. Would you do that? Can I ask everyone to bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask every eye to be closed. While heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, this is so important right now, what's about to happen. I want to pray right now. I want to pray a life-changing prayer, really, for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say you know for certain? You don't have any doubt. If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you, do you believe in God? What I'm asking you is, are you sure? Are you certain? If you died today, can you say you know without any doubt heaven is where you will spend eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be certain of that. You can know that. You can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God, knowing that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed is forgiven and it's washed away. You can walk out of here knowing for certain when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is real. There is a heaven that awaits us. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you are, right where you're sitting, while our heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer you're going to pray. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, family, if you want to be a part of this prayer, I ask you quickly right now, just lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand. I'm looking for hands. Lift it up now. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Just raise it up high right now. People raising their hands, slip it up. I want to ask, if you lifted up your hand, please say this prayer with me. In fact, church, let's all say this prayer together. Everybody. Everyone together. Say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, to die on a cross in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. Say this, hey, I believe Jesus, you've been raised from the dead, and I ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I confess, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Come and give God thanks and praise. Will you do that? Amen. Hey, listen, I want to congratulate those folks. If you lifted your hand, best decision you ever made in your life. I want to ask you in a few minutes when service is over, we've got 7 minutes to go, if you can hang on 7 more minutes. I want to ask you to remain seated where you are. And when the service ends, if you lifted your hand, please remain there because we have one of our volunteers going to come and give you a gift. If you lifted your hand, stay where you are. We have a gift for you before you go. Right now, we're going to worship and honor the Lord with our giving, with our tithes and offerings. And then I'm going to come back. I've got something important to tell you before you go home today. Welcome, Pastor Jill, this morning.
That's some good preaching right there. I'm out of excuses, right? How about you? So now's the time where we receive the offering. We have an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And let me say this. If you're a first-time visitor, you're welcome to give, but you're under no obligation or any pressures. Thank you just for being here. And there are various ways that we can give. They'll come up on the screen. There's an envelope on the seat where you are, and there's numerous ways that you can give. The kiosk in the lobby, you can give by debit or credit. You can give online as you're watching right now. Thank you. You know, as I was heard that Pastor Steve likes to test his message out on me as he's preparing it, and when I heard the title, No Excuses, this story jumped to my heart. And I just wanted to read a few verses from 1 Kings 17. It says, Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Elijah was the man of God in town at that time. And he said, Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So Elijah went to Zarephath. Then he came to the town. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her. And he said, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And so as she was going to get it, he called and said, bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it, and then we're going to die. So When I thought of excuses, I thought if anybody had some excuses, it was this woman. You know, I've been in some tough spots, but I've never been in that tough a spot, right? She had an excuse. How can she provide for this man when they are going to have one meal and die? It is a famine in the land. There is no rain. There is no more of any of that. They're going to die. And so she had so little that it was illogical for her to give. That's a valid excuse, right? You would think. But do you know, I love when what we just read, and sometimes we skip over it, God actually said to Elijah, I am directing a widow to supply you with food. So before this widow even gave that one piece of bread, God wasn't asking her to give one piece of bread to Elijah, but she had to start right there. But do you know that God already had in mind how he was going to supply her after she gave that first piece of bread, so that she was going to feed him through the whole famine. So God went, you know, I don't know about you, but I've had excuses at times when it comes to giving and tithing. The excuse can be is, if I give and I tithe, I'm not going to have enough. You know, it's not just, we've all experienced that, right? It's a test of our faith. If I give, I'm not going to have enough. That sounds like a valid excuse. But do you know that before you even give, God has your supply in mind? He knows. He knew how he was going to supply. She was going to feed the man of God for that whole famine. And God knew it. But she had to first come and give and do what God told her. I won't read the next few verses because of time, but Elijah said to her, don't fear. He says, because the Lord says this, your jug of oil and your bin of flour will not dry up. First make the bread for me. And she went and she did what he asked. And you know that it came to pass exactly as the Lord said. I want to tell you, you can trust God. You can trust God. Lay aside the excuses. If that's been a hard thing for you as far as tithing and giving, just say, you know what, I'm not going to make any excuses anymore. I'm just going to honor God. He says, test me and I'll show you that I can provide for you. Amen. So right now as we prepare to give, just hold your offering in your hand. Those that have given online already this week, thank you for doing that. Those that give in recurring giving, we appreciate it so much. We thank God for all the giving in here. And we're going to pray right now. Those that are watching online, go ahead and give. It's really simple to give online. Just click give online and go and follow the prompts. But we're going to pray. Father, we come before you with our offering. We don't have any excuses. We follow we tithe. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to give generously into your kingdom. And I thank you, Father, we put our trust in you today. We honor you with this as worship before you. And we just declare that you are first in our lives and that we trust you to provide whatever it is that we need in the weeks to come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, ushers.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. That was great. Wonderful. Were you glad you came to church today? I'm glad you did too. I want to say thank you to everyone who invited someone. I want to say thank you to everyone who invited someone, a new guest to church today. Thank you for inviting a new guest. Remember, use these. This is an invitation card. It says Elevate Your Life. You can use this to invite people to church. When you walk out of the lobby, on the counter, you can find these cards. You're welcome to take them with you and invite someone. Imagine if we all brought a new person with us to church every week. Can you imagine that? Someone said it can't happen. I don't accept that. I believe it can. Do you? Ushers, did you pass the baskets already? Go ahead, please. A couple of things I need to tell you before you go. Don't forget, we're having water baptism on April the 14th. April the 14th, Sunday, April the 14th. Water baptism. We're going to be setting up a water baptism pool right out here next door to the parking lot. And after service, right after the service, we'll be baptizing people. If you haven't been baptized in water, you need to sign up, fill out a baptism card in the lobby, on the counter. You'll see these baptism cards. We need to know if you want to get baptized. We have a baptism certificate we want to have ready for you. So if you haven't been baptized since you gave your life to Christ, people tell me all the time, I was baptized when I was a baby. You weren't baptized. You weren't baptized. Because the Bible says repent and then be baptized. And a baby can't repent. There's nowhere in the Bible they ever baptized babies. Not one single place. Why? Because baptism is something you choose. Once you accept Jesus and make him the Lord of your life, then you get baptized. It's a public testimony of an inward changing in my life. And there's so many scriptures tell us to get baptized, go out into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them. So if you haven't been baptized, you need to sign up for Sunday the 14th of April. Then our first revival night. On the first Sunday of every month, we're doing a Sunday night revival night. And the first one is on April 7th. It's at 6 p.m. I want to invite you to come and experience the power of God. Revival night's a little different to regular service. We're going to have more worship, more move. The Holy Spirit is going to move. We're going to see supernatural things happen. So I encourage you to join us for revival night on April the 7th at 6 p.m. Final thing I need to say is that next Saturday, we are going to be painting. We got a little bit of painting to finish up, and we're going to have a painting party. And at 10 a.m., please, we're looking for volunteers to come and help us paint. There's a few things we need to finish up. A few doors need to be done. And how many of you know many hands make light work? The more people we have, the faster it goes. How many will come help us paint next Saturday, 10 a.m.? Wave at me if you will. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Do I see 10? I think I make a good auctioneer. So now we're gonna have fun painting next Saturday, 10 a.m., praise God. I want to say thank you to all our volunteers, all our servant leaders.